This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's dell.com/deals.
Get ready. Right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Because I kinda like it.
Live from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58.
You know, the game manager stuff.
It's a compliment. The people need to stop using it as a slur.
The Rich Eisen Show, covering the biggest game with the biggest guest. Pro Football Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, and Colorado head coach, Deion Sanders. Pro Football Hall of Famers and three-time Super Bowl champions Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Hour number two of day number two of our residency here in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Rich Eisen Show is back on the air live from Las Vegas at the TurboTax Studio. We're getting set for a big game between the Chiefs and the 49ers, obviously, on Sunday. A great hour in store for you if you're listening on Sirius XM Odyssey or our Westwood One Cumulus Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate smart enough to have us. I have to explain the word picture that's going on right now. My three guys to my right have put this show in a blender.
They're looking good.
They put them in a blender.
I like that, Rich.
Because... the head coach of Colorado football, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and one of my favorite people on the planet, Deion Sanders, is sitting
here. How you doing, man?
Yeah.
Those guys look really good.
You like it?
I mean, it's amazing how wonderful they look. It really is.
I should have put the blenders on my logo. I thought maybe they are.
They look close to the originals.
It's the original, right?
I like that, Rich.
Yeah.
Is that your...
That's my running form,
yeah,
still.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
But you don't look like you. You look... black.
I'm very.
Oh, I miss you guys. You know this kind of joke.
You know what comes up every now and then is the video from the combine where you're on the turf doing your thing with the, you know, with the defensive backs, and I forget who. But
you know what it was.
No. I forget who the players in mind were, but there was a sibling, I should say, of a current NFL receiver who is working out at cornerback. And I said, has a brother ever covered a brother in the NFL before? To which you said, what did you say again?
I forget what I said. I remember the other one, though, when the kid ran a great 40 time. And I was like, wow, that was fast. And you said, why would you say it like that? Oh my God!
That's right. I forgot.
You forgot about that. Let me get mine out the way so we can play. All right. I'm here today with California Almonds. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
To declare February the 12th as the day of the big game, National Recover Day, and for you, this handsome man is on the pack of my favorite snack. Yeah. That's why I'm staying lean and mean because I'm always ready.
Look at you on a pack of California Almonds. Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm smart about exercise and recovery, man, and that's how I do it.
That is awesome. And, okay, so National Recovery Day of California Almonds.
Yeah, I love almonds. I'm actually a true advocate.
Well, it's a great snack.
Yeah, it really is, but it's not something I'm just endorsing. I truly believe. You know me.
Starting on Monday, that's National Recovery Day.
Yep.
Eat almonds daily for your exercise recovery benefits.
Yeah.
How
it's
about
that? It's my go-to snack. Keeps me lean and mean. Like, you're looking good, too, by the way.
Why do you say it like that?
No, I'm just saying. You look good.
Did he go higher register?
He did. Yeah, yeah. Rich,
I'm saying,
Rich, tell him what you're at right now.
You
tell him what you're at.
I'm sub 200
so
pounds right
now. How long have you been there?
About a week.
So you're just getting there?
I'm getting there.
So
I'm arriving.
I didn't even know, and I did notice that you look good. I'm telling you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I'm sure Susie... you can't go back.
She's here in town.
Please,
actually.
She's right behind. She's right there. She's right behind you.
Oh, there she is.
Has she cut the mattress off her back?
No, stop it. She's standing right there.
You guys are putting kids out like a darn nursery.
But I don't list them. At least I don't list them.
But you do believe in what I believe in. Everybody ranks their kids. They just don't say it. Everybody can have that one kid that you know keeps you on your knees and take you to prehab. Thank you, baby. I love you, Susie. And I tell the truth. She is the absolute best.
I agree.
She's the best.
I agree.
But she ranks her kids.
Yeah.
You may not, but she does. Don't you rank them, Susie? That's right.
There you go.
You know who's your favorite one, and you know the ones that's going to put you in the nursery home when it's about to be over. A nursing home, not nursery.
You are the greatest, man. Deion Sanders here on the show. Do you have any Super Bowl memories at all or what?
Only great Super Bowl memory I have is when Billy Musgrave got in the game. I wanted – Billy was – you know, he got us ready, preparing us all year. I don't think he took a snap all season.
Yeah.
And I went to Coach Seifert and I said, I want – put Billy in.
Mm-hmm.
Put Billy in. And he got to go in and actually throw a pass, man. That's my fondest memory of Billy going in, because he was so much of a professional and such a great guy and prepared us all season long to even get there being the scout team quarterback. So when he got to go in, that's my best Super Bowl moment, I believe.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Are you of the mindset that that Niners-Cowboys NFC Championship game was –
That was the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you were marking Irv.
Yeah.
Back in the
My
day.
My dog.
He's about
it.
To show up here, by the way, in about 10 minutes. So.
I love him. I watch you guys on Sundays, and he is still the Irv I know. And I actually missed it. I ran into LT in the hotel lobby last night. I really miss those pure, you know what I'm saying, pure NFL Network days. You remember those days?
Yeah.
I miss those days.
I don't know
what it is now because I'm not there, but we had so much darn fun, man.
We
Del Tufo, man. There's a darn legend over there.
It is.
It's a legend over there. We had so much fun.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I remember the Thursday night football games that we used to do on the road together.
Yeah.
And how you gave everybody Gucci shoes after year one was all over.
And I forgot all about that.
You did.
I really did.
You gave everybody Gucci shoes. The first one you gave to was Steve Mariucci because his shoe game was off.
His shoe game was horrible. He's like he had ROTC shoes.
ROTC shoes.
Yeah, Mooch needed those.
And you said you were giving Gucci's
to my Moochie. Rich, I forgot all about that, man. Wow.
And then all of a sudden, after a production meeting, somebody comes up to me and says, "What's your shoe size?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, what's my shoe size? Why are you asking me? Just like, what's your shoe size? Deion wants to know." And I'm like, "All right." You know, and I told him. And then the next day, I opened up the door, and there were these Gucci shoes.
Man, I forgot all about
shoes.
That. Really do.
Right out there.
Yeah.
You were just outfitting everybody.
I love you guys, man. You made life easy. It wasn't work. We were not going to work. We were going to have a good time.
Because we genuinely loved
each other.
And I'll never forget, Prime, and I don't care if I don't think this will embarrass you or whatever, but you and me, when you, Mooch, and I did the game day final highlight show, it was a party. It was a circus.
Yeah.
I felt like I was back on the Sports Center set days.
Yeah.
But you, they wanted to put you in the middle of the set.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariucci, you were concerned that Steve had never done television before.
Yeah, we didn't want to lose him.
And you didn't want to put him on the end of the set.
That's hard.
And
that's hard. Like those guys right there, that's hard.
That's hard.
Well, I know why you're doing that because, you know, Black Lives Matter. But I'm just saying. But that's I know why you're doing that. But I'm saying, other than that, it's hard.
I'm done. Oh, my God.
I know why that is.
Oh, man.
No, but that was. We didn't want to put Mooch on the island.
No, it was your doing. Mm-hmm. You were the one who said something because I don't think anybody else was saying anything.
Yeah.
And you did. And those were, you know, magical days.
Yeah, well,
you know.
God.
And then I remember, you know, whenever LeGarrette Blunt scored.
Nobody want to hit that.
You said somebody has to hit that.
Nobody wants to hit that.
Blunt, that's correct.
Blunt.
You did that.
Yeah, that was good. We had some great sayings.
I don't care. I'll say all this stuff. It's when Najee Davenport scored a 2-point conversion. He went for two. That was like a party. And then
that was so many, man.
Then, I mean, do you remember the tight end Vizante Shanko? You remember him?
Yeah.
And then he was caught on camera in the back of the locker room, and he was, you know, out there for everyone to see. And then when he got 3 feet down in the end zone, You said...
I don't even remember this one.
He got his third leg...
Rich, we had so many good times.
And it was just like, that's what having fun on TV is about.
I think the one that we never talked about and we still can't talk about was at the Hall of Fame. Was that... That was the best one ever.
What? I mean, I don't even know
we
how
can't
we
can't even call the name. We can't
story.
Call it. We can't.
We can't
even tell the story.
We can't.
It was so good that we can't tell the story.
But
we're so connected that all of us was thinking the same thing at the same time. Me, Rich, and Marshall Falk. Marshall knows right now what I'm talking about.
Correct, and I do as well. Yeah. But it was one of those moments where I knew.
You knew
the host interviewing the subject who was there. On his big night, that I had completely lost my two analysts for a period of time, for like another 30 to 60 seconds. That I had to carry it because you and Marshall were just, gone.
I'm going to give you a hint, everybody. Rich always talks about my comeback.
Yep.
Me and Marshall was focused on the comeback of this guest.
Oh,
yes.
And the comeback wasn't. It had injuries. It was injured.
Come back at stall.
Yes. It was, and you could see that
you
there
could
was,
see
you
that
could
there
see
was
where
injuries.
There was a problem.
It was injuries in the comeback. And
the
everybody
road.
Was looking eye to eye with the guests, and we was looking up at the situation.
It was all. I couldn't.
We couldn't.
There was no way Dion or Marshall were going to ask a question, so I had to take the
Rich
first
had to
couple.
Take it. And the thing about Rich, what made Rich so great, and still makes him great,
professional.
He could be in stitches inside and still hold it and be professional. I don't know how he does it. He still could hold it and be professional,
That
makes it funnier though, because we know what he's doing on the inside.
Yep.
But he's Rich Eisen.
Mm.
He's the host with the most.
The great Deion Sanders.
Oh my God, that was good.
Courtesy.
Everybody's gonna be blowing you guys up. Like, who was it and what happened?
Yeah. I can't wait to find out.
I guess we'll inform. So I'll ask you this question about your current situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
The general concept is. Coaches are flocking out of college to try and get to the NFL because there's more rules around what you can do and pay kids and whatnot or anything like that.
Well, that's not the reason. The reason they're flocking because the sanctity of the game. Mm-hmm. They want the game to stay pure and wholesome when all the kids are getting paid, and many don't think that those kids love it because they're getting compensated to do what you should want to do for free. But I absolutely love it. I think the kids should be compensated.
Sure.
I think we got to put some guidelines and some rules in it.
Now,
too.
That's what I'm saying, is that in the NFL, there's guidelines and rules, whereas in college,
Yeah, you're going to have to do something because it's getting crazy. And you're right, some of the big dogs, the greatest of all time, Coach Saban, you know, walked away from it. And I love him to life. He's the best one. Has ever done it. I know that, and I'm going to say that. I don't think anyone would ever eclipse what he's accomplished in college football. And I don't think the system even allows you to be able to accomplish that anymore. But that was tough to see and understand and know him personally and see him walk away from the game.
Yeah, BC's HC became the Green Bay DC. You're hearing Chip Kelly's interviewing for offensive coordinator.
I love Chip Kelly, man.
He's phenomenal.
I love Chip Kelly.
But that's the point, is that I'm wondering what you think.
I love it.
About.
I love. First of all, I'm a father of five, so I understand kids, mm-hmm. and I understand the nuances of today's kids. A lot of coaches are disconnected from today's kids. They just coach, and they're not involved in really learning and understanding these kids. I love my team. I love these young men. Several of them are coming here. This weekend, including my two sons, I think they're going to three sons. Bucky's here, going to the NFL Honors with me tonight. So, and they were calling me earlier. Should I wear this? Should I wear this? I said, "Come on, man, you're Sanders. Kill the game. You know, just kill the game." So, I understand these kids, and I understand what they want and need and desire, and what they need to continue, but also being able to influx them with the wisdom and understanding of life as well.
But you gotta have rules.
You
right?
gotta have
rules, because I think some kids are being promised stuff that they're not gonna get.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
true.
That's part of it too. It's
That's true.
No problem.
But also, it's some out there getting these enormous numbers that they didn't earn. We just want you to earn it. I don't mind giving it to you, but I want you to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I truly want you to earn it and have the desire to understand that that's just going to hold you. NFL is going to sustain you. But don't look at that as the sustainment. Look at that as just something that's going to hold you and put a comma in the sentence. But you got to work your butt off to get to the next level. We can't divert from getting to the next level, having that desire to get to the next level. What made me who I am today is that hunger and that thirst and that focus and want to retire my mama. I mean, because I didn't have it like that in college until I started picking up a baseball bat. But I don't want those kids to lose that passion for the game. And that's what a lot of people are scared of.
All right, Prime. You're the best, man.
You're the man. I miss all you guys, man. Yeah. Straight up.
It's great to see you.
Well,
great
to see
you,
guys. Come on.
You know what? I got you. We got some new styles coming out like this one. We'll make sure. Sam, we make sure they straight. We make sure you get them.
I mean, yeah. You're talking
because we want you to have options.
Language.
We want you to have options.
That's why.
That's all we fight for in life, right? We don't want options.
That's why I checked the bag. Rich got mad at me because I checked the suitcase. Oh. I said I needed options.
You need options.
You know, because I had to look good to feel good. You know.
There you go.
Well,
see? There you go.
I just said it's a 3-day trip to Las Vegas. Why are you checking a bag when there's a whole group of people traveling with you?
You got to understand, black folks dress different.
Thank you, Prime. Not you. Thank you, because I couldn't.
We dress different, Rich. You could roll a pair of jeans up like marijuana and just and wear them daily. We don't do that. Like we got to flip zone. Emmitt Smith, baby.
Emmitt's here.
Prime, I couldn't get him to understand.
I brought a couple bags as well on a trip, and I'm only going like 3 places, so I understand. Oh, play old James. I love that man.
That's Irv and Emmitt.
Those two got me a ring. Those two got me a ring. I was always jealous because they used to talk about the triplets like I didn't exist over there on the defense. Like, I ain't doing nothing out here on the defense now, all right? I was jealous. All right, I admit it. Okay. I was jealous.
You're jealous because they had...
Yeah, it was triplets. Triplets this, triplets that, triplets this. Yeah. But, you know, they were already a dynasty before I got there, so I had to understand it. I had to understand it. But those two... You got to understand, we Florida boys. So no matter what transpires in life, we gonna always come back and love each other because we are Florida boys to the end. And we have that connectivity, man. So we grew up a certain way. We grew up with a certain fight, with a certain vigor about ourselves, man. So, and I don't give a darn if what I'm doing. If he calls, I'm picking up on the first ring, and then he knows I'm picking up on the first ring. That's how much we love each other. It wasn't about the football. It was about the connectivity as kids, how we grew up, man.
So how should I feel that you pick up on the third ring?
Well,
I mean, is this a tier system?
I just want to make sure you're trying to reach me. I want to make sure it's not a butt dial. That's why I wait.
In my rolled up jeans?
Yeah, your rolled up jeans.
Good to know.
Love Susie. I love the kids. Everybody good?
Everybody's great.
Do we have any Rich Eisens coming? Like,
no. It's over.
No. I'm not talking about you getting back in there. I'm saying your kids following your footsteps, like with the microphone and
15 and 13.
Yeah, but still, you gotta get them ready.
Obviously, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I got a couple in the stable right now. I'm praying they get me this house. I'm praying.
Love you, Prime.
Love you too, man.
That's,
love you guys.
That's
man.
Deion Sanders,
Susie,
head coach of Colorado
Susie,
football.
Susie.
And joining us next, 2/3 of the triplets, Irv and Emmitt, together live on the Roku channel.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-hosts David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, we're back here on the Roku channel. The radio audience will rejoin in less than 2 minutes' time. So the first of two times I introduce Hall of Famers together. Two-thirds of the triplets, Emmett Smith and Michael Irvin.
This guy.
Good to see you guys.
Man, it's great seeing being in Rich. Rich, I thought that was so cool, man, that you had Dion on right before. And when Dion brought up that we're all from Florida, you know, from the three various schools, different schools.
That's right.
Yep. Florida State, right. Miami.
Bottom, middle, and the top.
Battled all the time. Battled all the time. I don't take no slight, no bottom. We tried to mess with
the bottom is Miami. Right,
okay, all right.
Is Miami not at the
south.
Bottom?
It's the south. It's south.
Okay.
By no iteration is it bottom. It's just the south. Even though they call it the bottom. They do call it the bottom.
Don't act like I'm not.
They literally call Miami
the bottom.
Let's hit the bottom, man.
Right, he's
bottom.
Referring to right. it geographically. Right. Like
no.
We all know he meant it figuratively. We all know he meant it.
That was talking Miami.
No,
hurricane.
No. That sounds like you got a little sensitive right there.
That's what that was. I know him. I know.
I wasn't talking about no Miami hurricanes. I was just saying the Miami is the general location.
Yes,
and they call it the bottom. And Gainesville is in the middle. They call it the country in the middle. And Florida State is at the top. They call it state capital. So it is what it is.
I think you think he meant it figuratively and disrespectfully, quite frankly.
Right.
I think that's what you took it, but he was talking geographically.
But both things can be true. Both at the same damn time.
That's what song used to say. They can be.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Emmett, we'll talk about what you're here with. And Irv, I know who you're representing.
Oh, yeah.
You're representing our 8.5 hour show that begins in about 5 minutes, which
eight
is kind of crazy.
Hours.
I know. Everyone's asking,
dude,
so what are you doing on Super Sunday?
Eight and a half hours.
Eight and a half. We've got a rundown meeting tomorrow to figure that out.
Oh, what?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look who has stopped by. Chilling with us right here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Emmett Smith, Pro Football Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champion, here on behalf of Emergent BioSolutions. We'll talk about that. And here on behalf of my colleague from NFL Network, three-time Super Bowl champion and Pro Football Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin. Good to see you guys together. Yeah, it's funny because, again, you know, obviously we're thrilled that we have guests of your stature who are coming on the show.
You and were I heard doing that, the intro.
But I heard that you guys were in the same time frame of potentially appearing, and I'm like, see if they'll do it together.
Yeah, perfect, too, Rich. You know, it's so funny when you were just doing that intro. We used to do this before each game. Right at this, we stand at the tunnel.
Yeah.
It's right before everybody goes out, they're getting ready to introduce us. We look at each other and say, hey, by land or by air, they must go down. You see what I'm saying?
We
say double trouble, 22-88. Let's go be double trouble. And we do that. And by land or by air,
they went
your
down.
Ass
they
going
went
down.
They went down.
They went down.
It's so funny. It wasn't lost on me that on the night of Jimmy Johnson finally going into the Ring of Honor, and, you know, I knew it would be like a night at the museum where all the Cowboys would show up together, right? That when Jimmy was making his speech, and you knew he was going to finish with the line, how about them Cowboys? You knew it. You could see he was winding up from making that pitch, that he stopped when he was making his speech right in between the two of you and nailed it. It wasn't lost on me. He did it with the two of you guys right there. I wonder what you thought when that happened. Emmett?
I was just like, I knew it was going to come. And I was trying to determine whether or not I wanted to mess up his hair again or not.
He did ask me.
I said, Mike, should I mess his hair up, man?
Let it go.
He said, no, we too old for that.
We too old for that right now. I did say that, did I? Let it go.
I said, yeah, you know what? I might take away from his moment, so I'm not going to do it. This is his moment. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
Right. But him ending up right there in that shot right there, Rich, I said the same thing. Soon, right after you saw it, people were memeing it out. It became, and I said, with that, how about them Cowboys? I said, that's going to be the moment right there.
Yep.
But what makes it special is that journey. really, man, when we got there, like, you know, we were 3-13 and 1-15, and then I got this joker coming in. The third year, we get this joker coming in as my roommate, and we won 4 games in 2 years. We sitting in the room. I said, man, what you got playing, dog? What you want to do? He said, Joe, we're going to win Super Bowl. I'm going to win the rush title. I said, young joker, go to sleep, Joe. Boy, I almost said ninja. I was so mad. I done won 4 games in 2 years. And this joker over here talking about, go to sleep. But he ended up doing just that. You know, and it was the journey. All the times we got our butts kicked and we're going to do a players-only meeting. And then just go get our butts kicked some more, you know, going through all of that. I'll tell people this. Troy, Emmett, me, we've never, never had a falling out.
Ever.
Never had an argument. Never had a fight. Because we knew what it was like building it from the bottom.
And that's the thing that made us as good as we were. Mm-hmm. We all knew what the mission was. And we all bought into the game plan of transforming an organization from 1-15 to a championship organization. And Jimmy was at the helm of it. I knew once I got there what the expectations were going to be. I just did not know how difficult it was going to be to get all of that together. But through that whole entire process, we grew together. We matured together. We played at a high level together. And we lost together. We went through a lot together. Mm-hmm. And so that team itself was built inside out. And it was built to go out and destroy whatever it was in front of. Now, we competed at the highest level amongst ourselves, yeah, which made us ready for anybody and anything that was out there. That's why we were different. So people look at us and they ask us, how about the current Cowboys? They ain't going through this.
Right.
They haven't had to deal with the 1-15. Like. They don't even know what it's like.
And even if they go through the 1-15, I don't mind some of Jimmy's old tricks. You know, when we lost in Washington, we should have won the game. We lost in Washington. That poor lady was trying to feed us on the airplane. Jimmy said, you take that damn food and put it away. If they were hungry, they should have ate on the football field. And every away game, we get late in the game. I used to come to the line and say, are we going to eat or not? We going to eat or not? Because y'all know y'all lose this game. Ain't no food getting served on that thing. You know. So
play
so
for your supper?
Right. What? You eat 5 hours before the game.
Yeah.
That's that you eat 5 hours before the game every day. So now you play the game. You exhaust. Everything's gone. You want some food. You want some food. And if you didn't win that game, ain't no food.
Want no party in either.
Nothing. You got to ride the plane like
that. The plane was quiet. Whole time.
Nobody said a word.
I'll never forget the one time we did lose to Washington. But we was coming back, we may have been coming back from D.C., and there was a little noise on the plane.
Boy, Jimmy went off.
He came back there.
Went off. I felt bad.
He had just got done watching the live feed.
Dude.
He came back there, man, and Robert.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody heads on the block.
I'm not going to call out no name.
Right.
But
it was everybody. Everybody heads on the block. Shut up and shut up.
But I'm going to cut you. You say another word, I'm going to cut you before the plane lands.
He said that?
We sitting back there like this.
Damn. So you get the fourth quarter, you're like, Joker, what y'all going to do now?
We talking like
you can either whoop these jokers or we going to deal with that joker. Let's go. And it was always easy to just whoop their ass.
Get on that plane and get
us something to eat.
Exactly.
You know
it's one of those things where you better go outside and whoop somebody behind and then come back to the house and say, Mama, we did what we needed to do.
Can we get something to eat now? it was funny, man.
But
it was serious.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, honestly. If you don't hate losing to that degree, and sometimes you got to help instill that in people. I keep talking about it. Dallas Cowboys have enough skill. It's about the will. And that's what's killing them. They don't want it like they should want it. And you can't win it unless you want it so badly. That's just the reality.
When you want something so badly, you're willing to make whatever sacrifices you need to make personally to make it work for everybody. Because once you do that, you learn a lot about who you are, and not only who you are, but what you have the potential to become. And then you see that whole process come together.
It's nothing like
then there's nothing like it. Because once you reap the rewards of it, it's like, man, this is my brother's keeper. Like Prime said, that phone rang, right. He's picking up. Right. You don't have that kind of relationship without having a true relationship with somebody that you care about and that you've been in the trenches with, that you can learn from and trust. Because I'm entrusting my career in his hands, and he's entrusting what he does into my hands. My job was to make sure that Troy stayed upright.
Right.
And then if it was cover two, I needed to run the ass out of cover two. If it's cover three.
Right. And literally, when we say trusted, because there were games, man, I remember we were playing Washington, and I hurt my rib. And Emmett would say, just stay out there. I said, man, I could barely breathe. He said, they don't know that. Just stay out there.
That's what you told me.
Keep the safety out there, and I'll run. And
he told me the same thing.
New York game, when he hurt his shoulder. And I'm like, dude, we need this game for the bye. And he's in there, can't go no more. I said, they don't know that. Just stand back there.
He told you.
So they can blow the box, I'll catch the pass. They don't know that you stand your butt.
And they weren't supposed to give me the ball anyway. They lied to me.
Right, he handed the ball.
He kept handing it to me.
But you kept.
Here's the philosophy.
The greatest game I've ever seen. I remember going to him in the locker room and grabbing him and crying. Said, "Dude, you gave us up." He was like, "I said, dude, you gave us up." He said, "Michael." I said, "Man, no, really." He said, "Michael, my shoulder, man, get off my shoulder." I said, "Oh my God."
You thought he was crying with you, but instead you were crying.
It was funny, man. We had some moments.
How do you instill that philosophy?
See, if you don't have it initially, there are some people that got it.
Yeah, naturally.
And it has it. Kobe getting the statue today. You think somebody had to instill this in Kobe? Kobe want to whoop your butt at any and everything. You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant from the Lakers. That's what makes him great. If I can't, now, you know, some has it, but so. Everybody doesn't. But the ones that don't, I need a coach to help instill it. See, Jimmy had guys that had it, but when Jimmy used to get pre-practice speech. We're like, coach, we don't got to take all these pre-practice speeches all the time. We're wasting time. Let's get to it. Coach said, I ain't talking for you or Emmett or Troy. I ain't talking to them. I don't need to talk to you, Joker. But what about the fifth and third dude? I need to get that Joker ready to practice, you know? Yeah. So he was always working the bottom up. The bottom up.
Well, going back to the bottom again. We started from the bottom. Now we're here.
He was always working bottom up.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is the game in Germany that I was calling between the Chiefs and the Dolphins, the Chiefs had just lost in Denver. And it was Mahomes' first division road loss. He'd not really lost at all in division, actually. He's won pretty much every division game. And the Chiefs came in that week, and we heard that they had one of the toughest weeks of practices.
Correct.
And they felt like they had just lost the Super Bowl. And when you hear that, and now I'm hearing what you're talking about, and we're potentially watching a dynasty in the making this Sunday if they win, right? You could even make a case that we're watching it already being built, even if the Chiefs lose this Sunday. I'm kind of putting it all together that there's a certain difference, you know, that it takes to do what you accomplished and what the Chiefs are on the verge of accomplishing, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
It definitely takes a difference. It takes Michael touched on it, the will to want to be different. And if you're not in that vein, then you're not working towards the ultimate goal of becoming a champion anyway. The will to be different requires you not only to seek out wisdom and understanding how to prepare yourself, how to train and everything else. I had to learn some of these things myself as a true rookie in terms of how Michael worked out. Michael was one of those slick jokers that would work out with the team, then come back later on in the evening and work out by himself.
Yeah, he'd be a little similar.
And so,
just to give myself a little edge.
I asked the question, why did he do that? He told me I needed to have an edge on my opponent. So I'm like, okay, I get it. That makes some sense. I need to do the same thing. I need to get myself ready so I can run and carry the ball 25, 30, 40 times a game. So I started doing extra stuff as well.
watching them work out in the weight room, doing the single leg squats with Mike Borsik and everything else, and just concentrating on single leg movements and isolating both legs and getting them both strong. I had to figure that out. So wisdom is sought after. You mm-hmm. seek after wisdom so you can have an understanding of how you need to prepare yourself. Young kids these days, they already know it.
Right.
They already know it. They don't seek wisdom.
And they're preparing themselves.
That really care for them.
It's
anyway.
Some beautiful thing they shoot for Instagram. You know, some little motion they do for Instagram. I'm like, yeah, come on, man. Get out of here with that. Let's go get some real work in. Go run some real routes. Get some real work in. And don't even start running routes to after you've conditioned. So you're training now for the fourth quarter. These jokers want to get out here and start running routes right away. Like, you ain't going to be that fresh. Come on, man. Prepare for the fourth quarter when the game's on the line. That's the difference.
That's the difference. Well, you are here, Emmett, on behalf of Emergent BioSolutions. What is your relationship here?
My relationship with Emergent is to continue to spread awareness around the opioid epidemic. We're trying to make sure that these Narcan nasal sprays are in the hands of as many people as we possibly can, because we never know when the opportunity for us to step in and help save someone's life. The nasal spray is there to revive someone that may have suffered an opioid epidemic at the time. If we get it in them in a timely fashion, we can help. We have an opportunity to bring them back to life and preserve their lives. Six, seven, 8 weeks ago, a dear friend of mine lost his son to an opioid overdose, and it was fentanyl. So fentanyl, on top of pills and everything else, become very critical in terms of these opioid overdoses and everything. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that people are not aware of. People are losing their lives. We talk about celebrities all the time. They're the most talked about ones. But when you start talking about the everyday normal person that walk around, we're losing lives left and right. And this is one way that we're trying to help people by spreading awareness, so you can have it in your house, in your car, in your gym bag, wherever, in your first aid kit, and et cetera. So that's what I'm doing with Narcan and Emergent.
You can find the Narcan nasal spray on Amazon and in retailers nationwide, and you can visit Narcan.com for more information.
Thank you, Rich. You're a professional.
Yeah. That's what he is.
The pro, the best of the best.
Listen, there may be an I in Rich and Eisen, but there's three I's in Michael and Irvin. So. I know how this works.
I got two eyes. And
I know that.
And Smith.
That's it.
That's
we had it together, and we've got one more than Michael. I'd like to take a break, come back, and I've just cleared it with everybody in your groups that you can stay for one more segment. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Let's do that.
Absolutely. Like, in Las Vegas.
That's right.
You're my last gig of the day anyway.
Okay,
so,
good.
So why not? Just bring me a drink while we're at it. A drink of tequila be fun.
That's right. Well, you know,
I didn't bring it today.
Okay.
I'll be back out tomorrow.
Emmett and Irv back again before Charles Woodson stops by with his spirits and Kurt Warner. That's how we're rolling today with a What's More Likely before we go out the door.
Every year I bring a bottle of tequila.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, a couple more minutes till our radio audience returns here on our Roku channel feed. I got Emmett and I got Irv here together. Dion was just here as well. That was great. When he came, that just changed. What changed? Anything change? I mean, obviously he'd already won, but, you know.
What it did, though, it freed up our defense. Think about it. We had Dion on one side, Charles Haley on the other side.
Right.
Dion chopping off half the field, Charles Haley chopping off the other half of the field. So you had guys
crazy.
That were.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And
you know what? They did their thing. They did their thing consistently week in and week out. And we didn't have to stress over it because we knew what they were bringing to the table. And so all we had to do was just do our part and finish games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Dion
so
told
smart.
Me a couple times that he called himself a 5-down player.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, 3 downs on defense, 1 on special teams, 1 on offense.
Right.
You know, like a 5-down player. I'm like, okay. Sounds good.
He is as talented a guy as you would ever meet.
Yep.
And listen, getting Dion to come over, you know, I was recruiting him heavy after all of the championship stuff, man, to bring him over. that it was so perfect. When we got Deion, it was all perfect. Because, you know, we were already Hollywood anyway. You know, Deion came and got a hold and attached to that. And it was just great stuff. I want to talk, because people don't give these guys enough credit. We talk, Rich, just like you said, about their talent. These are two very smart football players. Oh, yeah. Smart dudes that have changed the game. Deion, I remember going up against Deion, and then the first time, because I was trying to bully him at the line of scrimmage, he's the first DB that said, okay. He put a leg back, 1 foot back. If I've got you in position with both legs, you're standing parallel, I'm in a running position, I know I can run through you because the laws of inertia says any object hitting the same object, giving the same weight to size, should move the object. I'm bigger than Deion. I'm going to hit him, bam, and go through him. Deion, after feeling my weight a couple times, said, wait a minute. And he put them legs back, and now I said, ooh, that battle just changed. Because now force meets force.
Yeah.
Little things like that, you'll see DBs pick it up. Deion started all of that. So, yeah, he's a brilliant, brilliant player, but he also was a technician in his game.
Yeah.
All of that baiting, he let you think you won.
Yeah.
He did it to me in college. I beat him on an out and up. Dude, this dude was a beat. I mean, I said, I got him. And the ball was in the air. I said, come on, ball, stop messing around. The Joker ran the ball down, pushed me down, caught the ball, and was running the other way. That's when I knew I was dealing with something different, man. He's a brilliant dude, man.
He's smart.
Charles Haley, the same way.
Yeah, smart football
player. Same way. You don't think it. Crazy. Crazy as I don't know what. I mean, literally crazy. But real smart with a game of football.
One of my favorite moments, and by the way, we're back on our radio with Michael Irvin and Emmett Smith. One of my favorite moments working together with you and Deion on the set of NFL Network was when, at one point, it was brought up, the NFC Championship game. Was it pass interference or not on this very photograph that we have here up on the screen?
Oh,
was this pass? And he's like, you're like arm bar. There's an arm bar. And he's like, no, I was breaking up the pass. And then the two of you like spent whatever. Emmett, the rundown blew up.
The rundown blew up
because it was on.
And Deion don't even let me talk about it anymore. Like, I ain't talking about it no more, Mike. Let it go, Mike. Let it go. It's over.
That's pass interference today.
Every day.
That's pass interference today.
Every day.
That is pass interference today.
That day, right. This day, the next day, the days before that, and the days after this. All of it was pass interference. All of it was pass interference.
Michael Irvin, Emmett Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Super Bowl 58 is going to come down to what? Emmett, what do you have for me?
I think it's going to come down to McCaffrey having a total yardage of about 125, 130.
You think he'll have that, Irv? You think McCaffrey's going to have 130
total.
Probably
yards? And get the MVP. They'll win, he'll get the MVP, no doubt.
If he has that.
Yeah. But he'll have those opportunities.
He's going to have those
opportunities.
I don't care if it's in the air or on the ground.
Well, first of all, some of it's going to be on the ground. You're not getting in to let's take Brock Purdy and let him outpass
Patrick Mahomes.
You're not getting
in. Fool to do that.
So now you're going to come back and say, let's run this football. And the babysitter can get the little baby the MVP. You see what I mean? And that's a great story when your babysitter can help you get in. I think that's a great story. I love Kyle Shanahan. And I think that's just a phenomenal story. So, yeah, I think McCaffrey will have that. And I think that if they win the game, he certainly should get MVP.
Yeah, and Debo, don't think he's going to do it by himself. But the beautiful thing about what I love about the 49ers is that they run a variety of formations. And in each formation, there's a variety of run plays.
Yeah.
And they're all interchangeable. Whether it's McCaffrey in the backfield or Debo in the backfield, or McCaffrey out wide and Debo in the backfield running, doing motions and everything else, they are creating matchup issues for everyone. And one thing I know about McCaffrey, you got to match up that linebacker, and that linebacker got to be able to run with him.
Yeah.
And out on the island, I'm going with him all day.
Huh. Right. What's going to be great, too, Rich, also on the other side, watching that Travis Kelce-Fred Warner fight. That's going to be a great battle. I think the greatest battle of all
is
on the sideline. Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, dog, I guarantee you, you're going to see something, some design, something fresh, something new that comes in from each offense. That's each one of them tilting a feather to the other, saying, look at me here. They're brilliant, brilliant men at what they do.
I can see Kansas City and Travis Kelce running this direction and him turning around and then going back the opposite direction and the ball being thrown on the other side.
Already.
I can see that happening.
Uh-huh.
I can see that happening. I can see Travis Kelce even catching a pass and looking to throw to somebody else. They're going to do something outlaneous.
By the way, if Travis Kelce is a tight end option pass, I will remember this moment for the rest of my life.
Mm.
That actually happens. Yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Or if he has to make a Kadarius Toney type play to win this Super
Bowl.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's what he's also talking about. The Kadarius Toney way threw the ball back. Kadarius Toney was offside.
Yeah.
He scored a touchdown, but he was offside. You know what I mean? So he may pull off his – of course – Kadarius ain't really been back on the football
field.
He's going to have to throw it maybe to Rasheed Rice or somebody because Kadarius just hadn't been able to get back on the field. And you know, he came out and said there's nothing wrong with him. No, there's something wrong with you. You kept dropping the damn ball. That's what's wrong with you. That's why you're not playing. Like, no, I'm healthy, man. I don't know what they're talking about. Oh, we know what they're talking about. You ain't healthy. You got bad hands. That's a sickness that you can't get on the field with. We got to keep you off the field. Bad hands don't work. If your job is wide receiver, that's an occupational hazard. That's what we call it, right? That's what they call that. But I like it there. I like it.
Throw me the ball, coach. Throw me the ball.
You can't win.
So are you taking the Niners? I'm trying to pick up.
Of course.
What you're putting down. You are.
Yes.
You are.
Ooh. And I'm taking the Niners because the NFC is the NFC team, and we need to get the trophy back on our side.
Okay.
That's all. Although the Chiefs are originally from Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Niners.
But, uh-huh. Emmett, you know what? Boy, you're really getting it now. You get in this business somehow, some way, just make sure you win. That's pretty good right there, what you just did. You win on Dallas, and you win on the NFC. That's pretty good.
So I know we're going to be doing this for 8.5 hours on Sunday, Michael, on NFL Network. You'll be asked.
But I'm conflicted on who wins this game because of what I always talk about. There's a stark difference. Well, I believe the 49ers have the skill.
Yeah.
But I believe it's hard to match that will of – Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and what they do over there. And they perpetuated it and instilled it in others, man. The way they came out in that Baltimore game set the whole stage. They tossing around Justin Tucker stuff. Get out of here, you know. We coming in here to bully. And then they did that first half. So, boy, that will is different. I don't know. I'm really conflicted on it. Skill or will? Which is most important?
Well, here's the wheel for the 49ers, though. We saw what they did to the Cowboys in week three. Then we also saw them bouncing back last time, in the NFC Championship game.
Both games. They did,
so
they did
that
a great
team
job.
Is built to withstand a whole lot. And that defense, I love that defense. They got Trey on one side, and they got Bosa on the opposite side. And neither one of them had a great game in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Neither one of them. But you put them boys out there. They play hard. I like that defense.
Game, yeah. It's going to be a good game.
But the thing that I think will separate the Chiefs from the Niners is going to be the experience of the Chiefs and the inexperience of the Niners. How they prepare right now leading up to this game. Will they exert more energy leading up to the game? Or will they wait and let that energy crescendo the day of?
And I thought it was interesting that Patrick Mahomes said to all his guys, listen, let's not try to hit Las Vegas. Let's focus on winning, and I'll bring everybody back out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that was smart.
Very smart.
But why did he feel he needed to say that? There are two sides to it. Maybe he heard some rumblings about, boy, we going to hit him, man. And he tries to bring them back home, you know. But, boy, I can't wait to see it. Because what he's telling you is him and Travis Kelce ain't going to let this get away like that.
No.
They're doing everything they can.
Which is a
attribute to the quality of leadership that's on that team.
Which is why when you guys were talking about earlier before, that if you either have the desire and the hatred of losing or you do not.
And
if you haven't been through the crucible of losing,
you got to have a coach that puts it in. And remember, that coach went to Washington, tried to put it in them, and tried to coach them hard and put winning in them, and they puked it back. We don't want that, coach. They regurgitated and complained and everything. You can't complain your way to greatness.
No, you can't.
You got to put in the work to go.
And you got to go through it. You got to go through it. You cannot avoid it one way, or you got to go through it.
Narcan.com for more information on what Emmett is talking about through Emergent Solutions to tackle the stigma around opioid use and accidental overdose through the rescue campaign. Narcan nasal sprays available on Amazon and in retailers nationwide. And Irv and I, our pregame show started 10 minutes ago. So we've got that going on. In hour number three, Charles Woodson's going to join us here in studio, as will Kurt Warner. Hour number two here from Vegas is in the books. We're still here on Roku for about another minute plus. Can you pop that photograph up one more time of Jimmy with just leaning in to you two guys, and you just loving it? And look at like the presidential quarterback back there, just like clapping because he was.
It's the perfect pitch.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's smiling, looking at you guys do your thing, and he's just sitting back there. And because he was really influential in making this happen, right?
I was about to say this, Richard. Let me tell you something, man.
We got about a minute plus.
The love that those two share right there, and especially they didn't start great. But where they are
today,
and the love they have, that wouldn't have happened without Troy.
No.
I'm gonna tell you right now, the things Troy did, that would not have happened without Troy. And I just love him for it.
Yeah, and Troy doesn't talk about that.
No, he shouldn't.
And he won't.
And he won't talk about it.
And he won't.
But
trust me, we know. There's no way that happens without Troy.
And I just love how he leaned into the two of you guys. He knew exactly where to fall when he stuck the landing on his speech with that, "How about them Cowboys," one more time. It's truly one of my favorite pictures of the football season, right up there. And I know you were psyched to be there, and what a game that was against Detroit, which almost made it here, obviously.
Yeah.
And then we got a big. Well, thanks for coming here, guys.
Thank you, guys.
I cherish it, that's for sure. That's Emmett, that's Michael. Again, Michael's going to be on NFL Network. And
88-22
forever.
Right. Oh, yeah. You dap it up right there.
Dabo,
right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Charles Woodson's coming up next.
See what?
There he is. Stroll.
There's the man.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And she'd be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.